We hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal. That they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Hey, welcome to another For Liberty's Sake. Thank you so much for joining me. My name's Eric Thompson out here in California. It is August 10th, 2021, and there is a lot to cover. I just got done watching the Mike Lindell Cyber Symposium. We'll cover a little bit of that, along with the other news that took place today. If you ever want to get a hold of me, you can email me, Eric, E-R-I-C, Eric at ForLibertiesSake.com, or check out my social media platforms. One is MAGABook.com, and the other is Twellit.com. As this day finishes up, you just have to go, wow, what a big, evil federal government we have. The federal government does not represent we the people. It's hard to admit that what our founders considered and what they were attempting to convey in the Declaration of Independence was, you know what, government, a king, you are out of line and we want nothing to do with you. And there's, I would guess, 130, 150 million Americans that are thinking the same thing right now. Now, there's different levels of personality, right? There's optimistic people. There's negative people. There's people that are, well, I sure hope. There's my tribe, the Christians, that are praying for God's favor. But also for us reformed people, you go, well, God, you're sovereign. And then you look at our country and you go, wow, we're aborted 60 million babies. We're destroying the family unit. We're promoting transgenderism and all these other crazy things. But you have to live, right? So For Liberty's Sake is to discuss things that will affect our liberty. I'm a Marine Corps vet. Been married 27 years. Children, grandchildren. Been to, I think, 11, 12 nations around the world. And I love our country. And our country is unique. Even if it's Israel or Jordan or Turkey or Saudi or France or wherever I've been, there's a feeling still here that you can pursue what you can pursue your dreams. You can pursue change. You don't have to worry about getting permission. Why did you do this or why did you do this? But the problem is, as education and immigration have been destroying our culture and our government, thus has people in power that are trying to do the bidding of the Marxists that are now prevalent in our culture. Then you're looking around going, wow, can I go there without putting a mask on? What happens if I don't put a mask on? Do I have to get a vaccine that I don't want? What if I don't get the vaccine? What if the government that keeps lying to me and to us says, you really should get the vaccine or wear a mask indoors? Then you're like, okay, well, this is going to end, right? And then you see him trying to continue it with the Delta variant. I don't know. Fauci's out there just one thing after another. The CDC, who finally admitted that even if you're vaccinated, you can still pass on COVID to people. CDC and NIH that are adjusting and falsifying and reporting numbers to the media on Florida and Texas. See? Then they get caught. Well, yeah, that was for 5 days, not just one. I guess we didn't report that quite accurately. So today, Andrew Cuomo resigned as the governor of New York. Andrew Cuomo is an old school, chauvinistic, narcissistic, almost mafia type personality that would call assemblymen and people in their homes and threaten them with political retaliation and had a way with touching people and it came back to bite him, right? So here he is today. He did a 21-minute woe-is-me, a resignation speech. One of his female attorneys came out first. Just want you to know that Cuomo did nothing wrong. Then he comes out. I did nothing wrong. He has 14 women that are accusing me of sexual improprieties, but I didn't do anything wrong. But here he is. Here is his kind of curveball at the end that he was actually stepping down that threw a lot of people for a loop.
Most challenging times for government in a generation. Government really needs to function today. Government needs to perform. It is a matter of life and death, government operations. And wasting energy on distractions is the last thing that state government should be doing. And I cannot be the cause of that. New York tough means New York loving. And I love New York. And I love you. And everything I have ever done has been motivated by that love. And I would never want to be unhelpful in any way. And I think that given the circumstances, the best way I can help now is if I step aside and let government get back to governing. And therefore, that's what I'll do. Because I work for you. And doing the right thing is doing the right thing for you. Because as we say, it's not about me. It's about we. Kathy Hochul, my lieutenant governor, is smart and competent. This transition must be seamless. We have a lot going on. I'm very worried about the Delta variant, and so should you be. But she can come up to speed quickly, and my resignation will be effective in 14 days.
Okay, 14 days. He's going to step down, and it was as heartfelt and written in a way, trying to make it sound like, you know, my daughters, I've been sitting on the couch with and looking in their faces, and I want to make sure my daughters can be anything that their wings, any heights their wings can take them up to, and I'm all about women. And that the Me Too movement has gone too far and things have changed, but I didn't know, so I'm kind of innocent. And Attorney General, you know, bringing these accusations or these findings against me is kind of a political attack, and it's just not fair. But Kathy Hochul is going to will become the first female governor of New York, and she's going to do a good job. And I'm just going to, because I love New York, and I love, and I love women, and I'm such a nice guy that I'm willing to step down for the good of the people. So this brings an end to his 40-year political career. Can you believe that? And it all came down after the damning report by the Attorney General Letitia James, which labeled him as a serial sexual harasser. But his problem is he still could be charged with the nursing home scandal and some other people for sexual harassment. So it doesn't mean necessarily that he's going to get away with things, but looks like he's going to try to step down and maybe get the light off of him and maybe get away. I'll get right off into the sunset, as they would say. There's an interesting point on this I wanted to go over with you. The social justice warriors, the critical race theory mob, Black Lives Matter anti-white mob, they don't like any white people. Now you'll see liberals and, you know, white liberals and white people marching with them, and you're like, okay, well, yeah, they're, you know, there's some people that kind of agree with them. But when it's all said and done, if you remember back during the Black Lives Matter rioting, you would see videos of them saying, hey, someone has to go take the hit. This white person should do it. Or let's send out the white person. It would turn real quick. So Cuomo, because his skin is, he's not a person of color, is game to be taken out by people, quote unquote, of color. Just because he's liberal doesn't mean that he's outside the purview. He's outside the crosshairs for people who want to take down all privileged white people in power, in positions of a power in our country. So just keep an eye on that. So Cuomo could still get charged. Lindsey Boland, one of his accusers, says she intends to sue him and his staff. And they're still looking into the nursing home scandal where he ordered that elderly people with COVID-19 be put into nursing homes with people who did not have COVID-19, which in the end up transferring it to some of the people, infecting them, and they died as a result of his decisions and edict. So Cuomo's down, and now they're going to get Kathy Hochul. She happens to be white, and a woman. So let's see how that plays out, and what kind of reception and what kind of support does she get, or is she going to become kind of a lame duck as they're waiting for next year? I think it is when they're actually going to elect the next governor, and they can just write, you know, get her out of there. So keep an eye on that out in New York. Now, that happened kind of first thing this morning. Same time, Mike Lindell was launching his cyber symposium where he's put up $5 million and said, our cyber experts are going to prove that we have all the packets or the groups of information from election night and the day after, which can prove exactly what happened on election night. And if you can prove that, if you're a cyber expert and you can prove that the packets of information did not come from election night, then you'll get $5 million. So the experts were on, and some lower level politicians were on, and it was just a kind of a rally cry that, like the attorney general in Colorado had law enforcement raid the office of a county supervisor in a more rural western county in Colorado. But she gets on a plane to go speak at Mike's event, and the police raid her office. The attorney general has already put out an edict that no outside the state audits, nobody from outside the state can come in and audit our elections. You wonder why? Well, George Soros funded her election to get put in that position, so that should tell you a lot. But it'll be again tomorrow, 9 o'clock Central Time. Make sure you check it out, frankspeech.com. While that was going on, the Republicans acquiesced to the desires of the Democrats, and they voted to pass a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. This bill is bad, including they're going to now, the government will have permission to track you by the mile and charge you. We'll cover all this when we get back. Again, this is Eric Thompson with Sport Liberty Safe.
Looks like you're not sleeping well.
Yeah, how did you know?
Hey, Megan!
What? Hey, you're that guy!
The MyPillow guy!
That's right, and I'm here to help you get the best sleep of your lives. Oh, you have a down pillow. Here's the problem with down pillows. You lay there, you feel comfortable, and guess what? It goes down, and you got one bent neck. So this pillow's no good, and I see you sleeping on memory foam.
Right.
Well, I'll show you what's wrong with that idea.
Okay.
Sleep's all about too high or too low, and I'm going to show you where your comfort level would be.
So, you know, that feels better.
Right, that's better, but I'm not going to sit and hold this all day. So every morning you're getting up like, it's not good. You're sleeping better.
Much better.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
Sue and Joe are two hardworking entrepreneurs. But recently, business has been slow. The idea of launching an online store has crossed their minds, but the thought of designing, building, and managing an e-commerce website is a bit overwhelming. Luckily, Sue recently heard about ShopToTheRight.com, a new website where she can list and sell her products without the hassle of maintaining her own website. Best of all, ShopToTheRight already has shoppers ready to buy her products. ShopToTheRight.com is dedicated to connecting freedom-loving Americans and business owners. Learn more today at ShopToTheRight.com.
All right, thank you for hanging out with me. Our sponsors there, make sure you check out ShopToTheRight.com, ShopToTheRight.com. Get some great products or sell some great products if you're a conservative or if you want to support conservatives, ShopToTheRight.com. And for MyPillow, make sure you support Mike Lindell, who's doing the symposium. Please support our podcast here and get some great products. I have the several towel sets, soft, and they dry well, which is great for a great price. I've got a mattress topper, which changed my bed into like a sea of tranquility. So I got a mattress topper. I've got the robe. I've got the dog beds. I've got the Bible pillow for my grandson. We've got the pillows. So check out MyPillow.com. Save up to 66% on his deals when you use our promo code FLS. So for Liberty's sake, FLS. And those three letters will save you up to 66% at MyPillow.com. All right, so we have the symposium going this morning. We've got Andrew Cuomo surprising people by resigning. And then you have Republicans joining, 19 Republicans joining the Democrats in passing a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. But the reality is, this was never about the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, which was, you know, his money is going to help roads and bridges and dams and airports. No. It opens up the way or paves the way for a $3.5 trillion budget spending spree. Think of it as a wish list for the Obama progressive movement. Anything the AOC could imagine is going to be in this budget plan that they want to try to push through, attaching it, saying, okay, we've got the infrastructure bill, which is going to be signed, and then we're going to also have a bill. It's an additional financial budget that we're just going to use the reconciliation process through because it's going to be for money only. You know, it's just going to be tweaking the dollars. It's not going to be like any specific changes to anything. So we're not going to establish a department or anything. We're just going to, we need money to, like, you know, make sure that there's money for the Green New Deal, that there's money for all these illegal aliens, and there's a pathway to citizenship and on and on. Well, that doesn't sound like money, Eric. Well, that's because they're trying to blend everything, which is why it's not even what they say it's going to be. And that's the frustrating thing. That's the frustrating thing for people, because it's like, well, wait a minute. You're taking what was supposed to have been just a tool that the parliamentarian can use to say, okay, all right, you've got a bill passed and you've got some financial things and you need to tweak the dollars and stuff, so we'll let you do that. And they're saying, no, we're going to put through 1.2 so we can attach 3.5, which makes this actually a $4.7 trillion human infrastructure bill. So we got our actual infrastructure, hard, you know, highways and hospitals and airports. So we actually have physical roads and properties. And now we want to add a human infrastructure, because they say that the humans and the needs for humans is actually part of infrastructure too. So Mitch McConnell and the boys, they agreed, yeah, we'll go ahead and we're going to sign off on the $1.2 trillion. It's the largest infrastructure bill in decades. Oh, they're going to have like internet access, but for people of color, give them expanded reach. But now it's going to head back to the House. And here is where it's going to get interesting. It says, an article here from Daily Mail, but the moment of bipartisan agreement is likely to be brief, as Democrats plan to push ahead immediately with the vast $3.5 trillion budget bill to address social care, education, climate change, and other of Biden's key domestic policy priorities. Democrats say that they're, of course, opposed to this, but here is the reality. If the Democrats can keep all 50 of their senators, it's 50-50. And if the parliamentarian allows, which would be unconstitutional, I believe, if she allows them to attach amnesty and all this other junk to it, it shouldn't happen. But if all 50, including Sinema from Arizona and Joe Manchin from West Virginia, then what happens is you would have the Green New Deal. You'd have amnesty for millions and millions of people. You would have anything. You'd have money to go and retrofit buildings and homes and build millions and millions and millions and tens of millions of dollars of free housing. I mean, you're talking about it helps labor interests, business interests. It's going to have, let's see, what do we got here? Trying to see all this stuff. There's so much in here. It's just like, okay, what do we got here? We got, here we go. Breakdown of the infrastructure bill. This is not even the insanity that I'm going to get to in a second. So this infrastructure bill, $110 billion for roads, $39 public transport, transit, $66 billion railroads, expanding broadband, major airports, $73 billion to modernize the energy grid, $650 billion in funding. The bill comes, this is how they're going to supposedly fund it. $650 billion in funding for the bill comes from existing planned investments. Remaining $550 will come from new spending. The remaining $550 billion over the next 5 years requires a new spending. So $650 billion was money already set aside in other departments. $550 is going to be new. Democrats want to fund the rest through tax revenues, like a new gas tax. There you go. Let's put more tax on gasoline that's got up to $5 a gallon out here in California. The bipartisan compromise, sure to raise a heated debate, proposed using $205 billion in untapped COVID money and relief money and unemployment assistance. So they want to use that money to try to fund all of this. But the $3.5 billion is going to be, like I said, the Green New Deal, retrofitting everything, free college, free healthcare, expanded Medicaid. You got they want to do free preschool, so they want to do like, okay, from three years old up, we'll pay for the kids to go to a school, and then 2 years of junior college we'll pay. So anything you can think of, the government is going to go to get half of the government fleet needs to go all electric, and they're going to put in charging stations, and they're just going to, you know, promote LGBT, I'm sure, in there, and they're going to promote this, and they're going to promote this, and public radio, and the arts, and it's $3.5 trillion for basic universal income payments, for expanded more tax benefits, and for helping to subsidize the 3-4 million illegal aliens that just came in the country from over 100 different nations. This is how deceptive they are. In the $1.2 trillion, they actually gave themselves the Department of Transportation Secretary. They gave him the authority to carry out pilot projects for a VMT tax. Vehicle mileage tax. And the DOT would calculate drivers' payments quarterly. So here's how it works. In the pilot program, you have to have a device in your car, and you would get charged by the mile. So here is out of the language. Objectives. The objectives of the pilot programs are A, to test the design, acceptance, implementation, and financial sustainability of a national motor vehicle per mile user fee. Did you hear that? In the $1.2 trillion, there's money for pilot programs so they can develop a national pay-by-the-mile tax fee. National. It continues to address the need for additional revenue for surface transportation infrastructure and a national motor vehicle per mile user fee, and provide recommendations relating to the adoption and implementation of a national motor vehicle per mile user fee. In carrying out the pilot program, the Secretary, in coordination with Secretary of Treasury, shall provide different methods that volunteer participants can choose from to track the motor vehicle miles traveled. Solicit volunteer participants from all 50 states, District of Columbia, Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. Ensure the equitable geographic distribution of population among the volunteer participants. What do you think of those? I mean, Biden's already signed an executive order that half the cars by 2030 should be electric, which goes along with the Great Reset and the United Nations 2030 sustainability goals. So the Democrats got $1.2 trillion. Republicans signed off. It's going back to Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, and they are saying that if the Democrats cannot agree, all 50 of them, that they will sign off on this $3.5 trillion budget plan, then they will not sign the Senate version of the $1.2 trillion, which would stall it, trying to put pressure on them. So when they come back in the fall, it's going to be, will the Democrats coalesce around all 50 because Republicans can't stop this. And will the parliamentarian allow amnesty and things that have nothing to do with the budget, nothing to do with direct finances, to be included in it? Very dangerous. And the Republicans signed off. There is an article from Breitbart that Mitch McConnell's like, well, my plan is when they get back, they're not going to be able to fund the $3.5 trillion, which means the parliamentarian's not going to allow it because it's not going to be funded. And so then it won't go through anyway. So that's his master plan. But this isn't how our founders wanted government to function. Right? It's like, no, okay, we're going to have the legislative branch. We'll have the House members who will be local. They'll know the people in their local districts, and we'll have a lot of them by representation of populations in their area, in their states. And then they're going to just every 2 years have to get reelected. And so they can, you know, they can be swayed a little bit more for political reasons. But then the Senate are going to be 6 years they get elected for, and it'll make them more of a stable chamber, and they will be able to look out without being emotional. But they're playing chicken right now, and I don't like what Mitch is doing. Joe Biden, he had to come out today and talk about, you know, we had a great success with this $1.2 trillion. So when Joe comes out, it's always interesting, right? Because you're like, okay, what's Joe going to say? Is Joe going to, you know, is he going to be like, okay, I know there's something going on, but I'm not really quite sure, and so. And then somebody will give him a note and he'll wipe some food off his chin and eat it. And it's awkward. And then, cause he just got back from hiding in his house. Cause yesterday they took him off his schedule as of noon, which meant nobody had access to him. Cause he had to go rest with, you know, take a nap. Well, when he came back to the White House, they're videotaping, and he's coming back from Delaware, but he's walking down a sidewalk, and you see Secret Service runs up to him, and they kind of point like you would like a traffic cop. Okay, turn here. Well, Biden just keeps walking into the grass, and then he goes around the corner, and then you see all the Secret Service talking into their sleeve. Okay, well, you know, he's going here, now he's going here, and then he goes into the building. It's like, handlers tried their best to direct him, but they just weren't able to. You just couldn't stop Joe. Well, when Joe got later on, when he gets to his press conference, there's an article from CNN. It says CNN reporter blasts Joe Biden for saying Cuomo did a hell of a job as governor. This was the media's opportunity to ask Joe about, after he's done with his remarks on the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, then reporters get to ask about Cuomo. And here's the video. Listen close. This will be CNN. So these are the reporters that are allowed to ask Joe questions are pre-approved, so they're not really a danger to Joe. So these are friendly reporters trying to ask Joe about his views on Cuomo.
Get it passed, yes.
Can I quickly follow up on your comment on Governor Cuomo? Can you really say that he has done a quote hell of a job that he's accused of?
Actually, let's go to the beginning.
Get it passed, yes.
Can I quickly follow up on your comment on Governor Cuomo? Can you really say that he has done a quote hell of a job that he's accused of sexually harassing women?
Look, you asked two different questions. I asked the substantive, should he remain as governor, is one question. And women should be believed when they make accusations that are able to, on the face of them, make sense and investigate it. They're investigated, and the judgment was made that what they said was correct. That's one thing. The question is, did he do a good job on infrastructure? That was the question. He did.
The question was, how did he do as a governor?
No, the question was, correct me if I'm wrong.
How was he as a governor general?
Well, the governor generally, obviously.
Outside of his personal behavior.
Outside of his personal behavior. Okay.
But can you separate the two?
I was asked a specific question.
Okay.
I'm trying to answer specifically. What do you want to ask me specifically?
Well, I'd like to ask you about infrastructure as well. Given that you have said this is such an urgent bill that needs to be passed, why not have the House take it up immediately for a vote?
We'll get it done. I'll get both. Thank you.
Okay, there's a lot there. So it was trying to picture it, you've got, you know, the flags behind him, and he's got Kamala behind him with her mask on, and she's kind of squirming as reporters are asking Joe questions, because I think she's nervous about what Joe's going to say. But the reporters are saying, okay, and yeah, the two reporters there, and they seem to be kind of contradicting each other, but what you heard was Caitlin Collins said, can you really say that he, Cuomo, has done a hell of a job if he is accused of sexually harassing women? And Biden said, well, he did a good job on infrastructure. Collins said, the question was, how did he do as governor? And then what happens is the other person is cutting in saying, well, how did he do except for his like moral failings, basically? Except for his personal life, how did he do? And then she's like, well, okay. Well, then I have another question, since this one is just kind of going nowhere. If infrastructure is so important, why aren't you calling for them to do a vote now on the $1.2 trillion, which shows? And Joe's snickering because Joe didn't really know what to say. And the reality is Joe doesn't have a say on when the $1.2 trillion gets voted on. So he's stickering. We'll get to it. No, what the girl didn't understand is it goes to Nancy, who they're already going to have it ready to go, pull the trigger, if they can get the confirmation, all 50 senators, when they get back from their break, summer break, we'll move forward. But there's Joe. He didn't have to answer the question. Because it was a dangerous question for him, because he has accusations of being sexually immoral, of fondling women, sexually assaulting women, talking a lot about little girls, touching little girls. And as we reported last week, that he actually grabbed the nipple of a little 8-year-old girl in front of the cameras, and the girl moved. She just reported it years later. So this was a dangerous thing because Joe doesn't know much. He didn't really do anything for this $1.2 trillion, and he does not want to try to deal with what's going on with Cuomo's world. What a sick Democratic Party, right? Yeah, mayor after mayor in New York, or governor, last two or three Democrats. Messing around, Anthony Weiner, the whole thing. Got reporters that are trying to cover from him that aren't journalists anymore. And people still tell me, oh, they're the moral party. They're the party that cares for women, cares for minorities. Seriously? All right, get back. Gonna go a little bit more, Biden. Was asked if he had the power to overrule governors about COVID stuff. Tell you what he said about that. And then we'll look at what's going on with the minority plan is working for the left. And I'll explain that to you. So thank you again. I'll be right back.
Name one time in history where the people who banned books, media, and opinions were the good guys. Hi, I'm Eric. I'm the world's youngest Bitcoin millionaire. I made it in Silicon Valley, and I've accomplished a lot in my life already. But now, I'm leaving big tech to fight for free speech. Because the big tech overlords are violating your privacy, censoring your speech, and I think that's so wrong. That's why I created the Freedom Phone and its uncensorable app store. Everyone is complaining about big tech censorship, but no one is doing anything about it. They say, build your own phone. So I did. Freedom Phone truly is the best phone in the world. It does everything your current phone does, except censor you and spy on you. With the Freedom Phone, your freedom of speech is our number one priority. That's why we built our own app store that is completely uncensored. If an app you love has been banned from the mainstream app stores, you can still download it on ours, because we don't ban apps, period. And we've developed the first operating system based on your free speech. There's no app tracking, no keyboard tracking, and no location tracking, because I believe in your security. How do we ensure you're being protected? Say hello to Trust. Trust is our privacy guard. It's designed to warn you whenever an app or a website is tracking you and gives you the option to stop it. Your data, your rules. That's our motto. The Freedom Phone is comparable to the best smartphones on the market. It has an edge-to-edge screen, a super fast processor, and multiple cameras. And your SIM card transfers into the Freedom Phone seamlessly. Big tech companies hold a monopoly on public communication and the dissemination of information. And they are abusing that power. Nobody elected Mark or Jack to be the arbiters of truth in America, yet they still thought it was okay to ban a sitting president from their platforms. If they censor a president, they will censor anyone. Imagine if Mark Zuckerberg censored MLK or Abraham Lincoln. The course of history would have been altered forever. Out of all the constitutional amendments, there's a reason why the founding fathers made the right to free speech the very first. I believe you have a voice that deserves to be heard without being censored. Protect yourself from big tech censorship. Let your voice be heard. Live free with the Freedom Phone.
Clean Slate Tax and your tax mess. Clean Slate Tax is a tax relief company that helps alleviate tax debt. Tax relief, tax credit, deduction, small businesses, we do it all. Find out if you're eligible for tax debt relief. Call Clean Slate Tax today at 888-839-6139. That's 888-839-6139. And thank you again for staying with me. If you're just joining, this is Eric Thompson on For Liberty's Sake. And we're finishing up the show here. Covered a lot already, but I'm going to go over some stories pretty quickly here just to kind of wrap together what I thought was interesting. Here's one from the Daily Caller. Biden is checking if he has the power to override Republican governors on COVID. Yes, Joe has, he's drunk, I don't know the proper way, but either way, he's definitely digested the Kool-Aid, the Marxist Kool-Aid of power. Daily Caller says here, the President Joe Biden doesn't believe he has the power to override Republican governors on COVID-19 policies in states like Florida and Texas. He told reporters, but then later on, he has them, the reporters screaming at him about the mask mandates and the bans and things like that. And he says, hey, do you have presidential powers to intervene in states like Texas and Florida where they're banning masks? A reporter asked. I don't believe that I do thus far, but we're checking on that. Hold on a second. I don't believe that I do thus far, but we're checking on it. Biden responded, but the federal workforce, I can. So, hey, I'm your man. I'm forcing the COVID on the people that I can force the COVID on. The CDC finally admits that the vaccines that people have been taking cannot prevent the transmission of the Delta variant. Yes, remember, everybody get the shots. If everybody just got vaccinated, they could go back to normal life and they wouldn't have to wear a mask. Well, the CDC has been lying. Rochelle Walensky finally spilled the beans about COVID, saying that by raising your sleeve and bending a knee, it's not going to keep you from the China flu necessarily. Fauci, though, he said in the Gateway Pundit article, I know people like to have their individual freedoms, but hey, we need vaccine mandates under certain circumstances. Don't you love these Marxists? Because we just heard Joe, right? Well, I don't think so. Well, you know, Florida and Texas are really ticking us off, you know, and what about them on their bans on masks? Well, I don't think so, but we're looking into it. But hey, I know the federal employees, I am making them, I can make them do it. So just let me keep trying and looking for angles. And then maybe I can somehow, even though it's not possible, mandate that the state governors get out of the way and let us mandate poking everybody. But Fauci, I know people like to have their individual freedoms, but we need vaccine mandates under certain circumstances. Remember, we went from 15 days to slow the spread. Remember that? If you guys would just, President Trump, with Fauci's direction, we could just get 15 days to slow the spread. Then it was, well, if we could just get vaccines. Well, now that we have vaccines, 60 or 70% of the population, but the vaccines actually aren't keeping people from getting COVID. So everybody should still get them, though. And you know what? There should just be mandates. So Fauci said in an interview with MSNBC's Willie Geist, I'm going to upset people on this, but I think we should. I mean, we're in a critical situation right now. We're in a major surge now as we're going in the fall into school season. This is very serious business. And here is Marxist Fauci telling us what a Marxist would like to do if possible.
Dr. Fauci, do you agree with Randy Weingarten, the head of the largest teachers union in the country, who came out yesterday and said, yes, teachers should be vaccinated inside schools? Do you think they should be mandated to be vaccinated?
Yeah, I'm going to upset some people on this, but I think we should. I mean, we are in a critical situation now. We've had 615,000 plus deaths, and we are in a major surge now as we're going into the fall, into the school season. This is very serious business. You would wish that people would see why it's so important to get vaccinated. But you're not going to get mandates centrally from the federal government. But when you're talking about local mandates, mandates for schools, for teachers, for universities, for colleges, I'm sorry. I mean, I know people must like to have their individual freedom and not be told to do something. But I think we're in such a serious situation now that under certain circumstances, mandates should be done.
When did the National Institutes of Health director, CDC director, both not elected, when were they given power to tell Americans what they can and cannot do? Never. Except in this Twilight Zone orchestrated COVID extended, this extended let's keep stretching it out if we can. The left keeps, oh, we got to keep it going. Let's not do a seasonal COVID death total. Let's keep it rolling so it sounds bigger. And let's not talk about flu deaths. And we'll bundle anyone that dies that had any type of COVID symptom in to the bundles, even though they died because they were 400 pounds, heart disease, blood pressure, but they had COVID. And let's just keep bundling together and trying to keep people obeying us. I think what Fauci said, his statement, is really nauseating. I know people like to have their individual freedoms, but, and that's the difference between an American, someone who loves America, and people who love power, that would be willing to have the country turn into a failed Venezuela, a Cuba, old USSR. You know, because they talk about czars. You got to have all these special envoys and these people that are going to be brought on just to do this, given power to force people to conform that are not elected, so they couldn't be removed from office for their actions. It's just not the way our founders, the framers of the Constitution, had envisioned. And I know they did their best to try to limit the growth and power of the federal government, but people in history have always wanted to have more government involvement in trying to make sure that they get what other people get, and that everybody's, you know, that if their feelings are hurt, that the government should fix it, and the government should give them money, and the government should help them and give them medical and give them school, and they're willing to give up rights, give up freedoms, because they just want to be happy, and they individually are willing to give up things so they can think they're happy, and then one day there's a frog boiling in the water and everything is dying around them, and they're like, what happened? And we have to deal with those people. Last couple stories here to finish up. A record-setting over 10 million new jobs are now available, according to Forbes. You heard that right. The United States economy and job market are growing, are strong. Last week, we saw nearly 1 million new jobs added in the U.S., now record-setting. 10.1 million jobs are available, according to the Job Openings and Labor Turnover Supply JOLTS report. As states reopened and COVID-19-related mandates relaxed, hiring boomed. The growth in job creation was most abundant in the once-hardest-hit sectors, restaurants, bars, hospitality, leisure, and travel. Ironically, the good news created a new problem. Businesses cannot find employees due to the huge increase in demand for workers. So companies are having to raise wages and offer sign-on bonuses and even pay for college tuition just to get people to come back and take the jobs they had so far, they had prior to COVID. Now remember, the left wants $15 minimum wage. Well, if businesses have to pay now 11, 12, 14, 15 bucks an hour for people to work at their Subway restaurant, their sandwich shop, to get them to work, well, then they just tack on a dollar on each sandwich. So there's inflation. But even with the higher wages, people aren't going back to work, because at the same time they're saying, look at all these jobs, the Biden administration is considering extending the $300 a week of extra unemployment compensation for people. So if you're in California, example, you get $400 maximum, $450 a week. People can't live on that. They can't even do anything. But then the federal government's been saying, here's another $300 on top of it. So if you've been making $14 an hour or $350 a week, $400 a week working, and the government will pay you $750 to not work, it doesn't matter if there's 50 million jobs, because you're getting paid more to not work. You see the dichotomy, the problem here, the double-headed monster of a large federal government that's heading toward Marxism. I'm going to do a show this week on the artificial intelligence, robotics, the effects they're having and will have on displacing workers. So all these people are pouring in the country, the automation and AI is increasing, and there's going to be a point where they merge, and you're talking massive unemployment, kind of like a Hunger Games situation, if it was worst case scenario, and I don't expect that, but I do expect these to merge at a certain point. So right now, too many jobs and not enough workers, but as people get off the extended unemployment, they go back to work, and then they start to realize that their job actually is going away because the robotics is kicking in, then we're going to see even a bigger problem, but we'll get to that. Last thing. From Daily Mail, minorities drive population growth in the U.S. while number of white people declined for the first time according to the 2020 census. Here it is. The left got, they're now getting to the pinnacle of what they've been trying to do. August 12th report to reveal a drop in white population for the first time in U.S. history. Experts believe lower than anticipated birth rates among millennials and the opioid epidemic attributed to the recent decline. The Hispanic population is now about 20% of the population. It does not include the huge numbers that were in the 2 million illegals that already come across, plus another 1 million probably coming across or more before the end of this year. What's interesting is the black population is still around 12.5%. How is that possible? How can you have Hispanics skyrocket up to 20%. Asian population doubled up to 6%. But yet the black population stayed around 12.5%. Experts say there will not be a racial majority by 2045. Washington Post article says 20 years ago, this is William Fry from the Brookings Institute. 20 years ago, if you told me this was going to be the case, they would not have believed you. The country is changing dramatically. In 5 years, for five years now, updates in the U.S. Census Bureau have estimated that the white population was shrinking and that all population growth had been from minorities. So what you have here is, let's see, you've got the white population, white alone percent, 76%. This is race and Hispanics origin. This chart is all over the map, but basically, the white population is, let's see if I can try to figure this out here. Okay, population, okay, race and Hispanic origin. White alone, 76%. Black, 13.4%. Let's see, we got Hispanic, 18.5%. White alone, non-Hispanic or Latino, 60%. So it looks like we're at 60% white. We're at 18.5% Hispanic, plus other ones you can put into it. But the way it's going right now is that the white population will dip below 50% by 2045 as Hispanic and Asian populations rise, and there will not be, that's the first time ever the U.S., white people in the U.S. could dip below 60%. So we're at 60.1% if you're not including people like Hispanics, married to whites, etc. And I say all this for this. So 60% of the white population going down, Hispanics shooting up to about 20% when you combined everything, but the black population staying about the same. And it's a result of the left, open borders policy, excessive immigration from other countries, and now the taught hatred of people with white skin color in schools and in the public and in entertainment. So I thought I'd let you know, it's working. You may like it. You may like what I just said. You may not. You may be neutral. But in the end, the reality is the left plan is working. So what we'll have by 2045, a country with no majority, which means we'll be separated by groups in the country, which will make it easier for them to control us, because there won't be any unity as the divided states of America continues. So thank you for listening to For Liberty's Sake. Remember, work local, school boards, assemblies. Try to be busy in your local communities to make a difference. And let's fight to make America great again. You have a great day, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.